Jewish news from down under.
Down under.
With Vic Aladaf.
Good day, mate.
Vic Aladaf, a very good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to talk to you. And son, I think I should enter that race. I've done comrades once or twice.
No. Then you're not entering this one because this one's mine. There is a 21-kilometer one there that that the real runners are doing. Us fun walkers or runners are doing the 8-kilometer one. So
I was younger then and better looking. So
my experience with runners is no matter how thin they get, they're never that good looking. No one looks good running. So do you still run in Australia? I mean, is running part of a culture as it is here in South Africa?
Interesting question. Australia is as sports mad as South Africa with one difference, and that is distance running. I lived in Johannesburg and Cape Town. Literally in South Africa, every single weekend, as runners listening would know, there was a race. Here, there are half a dozen races during the entire year. So distance running, even though a big one is 80,000 people take part, there are only half a dozen organized races during the year. So distance running is not here what it is in South Africa.
Yeah, here it's an absolute obsession. Let's get on to a story that I see now is being covered all around the world. Clearly a significant anti-Semitic event, or one that certainly has unnerved people. A teenager yells anti-Semitic abuse at a youth on a bus. Tell us about the story.
So this is three Jewish boys and observant kids, so they were wearing kippot, age 15, 14, and 14. They were in a shopping center in a established part of Melbourne, and then they took a bus to go home, but they got onto the wrong bus, ended up in the wrong area. And in the next thing, other teenagers got on the bus and identified them as Jewish and began racially abusing them. So a girl in the group said, "What would you do if I grabbed that cap off your head?" And then somebody behind her said, "Gas the Jews." And the kids were pretty traumatized. Fortunately, there was no physical abuse. But, one of the kids who comes from a Holocaust family, great-grandparents, perished in the Holocaust, pretty traumatizing, and coming on the back of a couple of other incidents in Melbourne in the same week. A rabbi in Melbourne, excuse me, filmed himself being subjected to road rage abuse, also in Melbourne, in Caulfield, and Caulfield is the heart of Jewish suburbia in Melbourne, and during which a motorist yelled at him, "You should have died at Auschwitz." Quote, "Want me to get out and show you what Hitler did? No worries, the guy could be held." Could be heard yelling at him. And then also recently, we've talked before, there's a Nazi group which has set up. It's not a political party. It's too small for that. But the last report I saw, this has a few hundred members, called the Antipodean Resistance. And their logo is the swastika. And they have been growing. They've set up about 2.5 years ago. They now got groups right around the country. And just a couple of weeks ago, they put one of their swastikas outside a Jewish nursing home, again in Melbourne, which is home, by the way, to many Holocaust survivors. So it's been that's three incidents right there within a few days and weeks of each other in Melbourne. So, yeah, pretty concerning.
So the question is this, is the rise of anti-Semitism globally is now a well-documented phenomenon. Europe is reporting it, United States, it's all around the world. Are you seeing the same amount of growth to the same percentage? Do you know these numbers in Australia, or is this a higher percentage than has been happening elsewhere in the world?
I would not say that it's a higher percentage than elsewhere. It's probably on a parallel and or less so than we're seeing in Europe. Certainly in Europe, as we know, we're seeing, it's pretty frightening what's happening. And I've reported a couple of months ago when I got back from Germany about this new political party there, which has 92 seats in the Bundestag, in the federal parliament, with anti-Semitic strains, with neo-Nazi strains running through it, never mind anti-Semitic. So I certainly would not put Australia on that par at all. But certainly, as we know, one incident is one too many. And just yesterday dealing with, you know, apropos of, there was a dental, there was a webinar where a whole lot of dental specialists were taking part in a conference by, on, with Skype. And apropos, and one of the dentists who happened to be Jewish, mm-hmm. was talking about some breakthrough technology which is happening in Israel, and talking about the experiment that was done to achieve this. And one of the other participants says, oh, something to the effect of, were the experiments done on Palestinians? You know, just
ridiculous,
absolutely
yeah.
gratuitous, unprofessional, you know, and just throwing that into the mix.
That said, Vic, is I wonder if this teenager story would even have been reported had it taken place in Europe. So I think that the reason that it is, part of the reason that it is getting the publicity that it is achieving in Australia is because these incidents are relatively rare there.
I think your point is well made there.
But let's just talk about BDS Australia, speaking of anti-Semitism. They're trying to pressure national television networks, apparently, to boycott Eurovision.
So there's a television network here called SBS, stands for Special Broadcasting Services. It's a multicultural version of the ABC. We have an ABC, and then SBS, it's a government-funded network radio and television, and obviously online as well. And they've been covering Eurovision around the world because that obviously fits in with a multicultural charter. They've been covering Eurovision, screening it for 35 years since it began. I think 1956 was the first date of Eurovision. This year, as we know, Eurovision is going to be in Israel in May. And there's a small little unpleasant group called BDS Australia. And they have started whipping up sentiment against the SBS network, saying that they should be boycotting it. SBS, to its absolute credit, has come out very quickly and said that Eurovision is all about bringing faiths together, celebrating cultures, etc., etc. We have always screened Eurovision, and we will continue to screen Eurovision. And so, but in the meantime, this BDS movement is, this coming weekend, there's going to be a, where they choose Australia's representative. Australia, by the way, is in Eurovision. Don't ask me
I've
how
never
or
understood
why.
That. Never it. Understood that. I think they thought it was Austria, and that's how they let them in.
You could be onto something there. So Australia and Israel are in Eurovision. Neither country, I believe, qualifies Europe, but never mind. So this weekend, there's going to be a contest, 700 entrants to choose Australia's representative. And BDS Australia will set up shop, you know, across the roads and to protest, etc. And so as we get closer to May, the momentum will build up. And already in Europe, by the way, we're seeing quite a lot of, and this is not about Australia, but protesting against Eurovision because it's in Israel. Mm. The Guardian in London published 140 names, including some Jewish artists, saying boycott. And there have been thousands in different countries in Europe. And it's obviously to be expected. But the good news is that our television channel here has told the protesters, take a hike. We will be screening it.
Brilliant. Before I let you go, will you tell us very quickly about David Cameron? He's apparently heading to Australia.
Yes, very quickly. So our UIA, as we call it here, United Israel Appeal, they're having their big annual fundraising event in a couple of weeks' time. And David Cameron, the former British Prime Minister, is the keynote speaker. So great profile, and he'll draw a couple of thousand people, I'm sure.
Absolutely fantastic. Time is 6:25.